It's exciting to get to share with you tonight what the Lord's been dealing with me in my heart. One of the things that I've thought about a lot in the last day or so was how the Lord takes the truths that I've known because I was saved at a very early age. And I've been taught these truths and read for myself and experienced things in life. But God takes a truth and he brings it into focus. And then some time passes. And then God takes the truth and he brings it into focus. And then some time passes. And you can see where I'm going with that. So tonight, one of the first things that I realized is you've all had a chance to read this. Many of you have had a chance to give a message from God's Word, possibly on any subject I could pick. So I'm resting in the fact that I know that all I need to do is share what the Lord's been doing in my life. And I think that's the proper attitude to come. So let's see what we're going to focus on. How many people in here eat fish? Hands, lots of people. So, Clayton, why do you eat fish?
I love fish.
You love fish. All right, that's the answer I was looking for. Okay, so Clayton has a dog named Piper. That's my grand dog. Clayton, do you love your dog Piper? You do. Okay, so my topic, not to be separated from next Wednesday, is love. And I have a definition of love, and I didn't Google it or get it from the internet. I'm going to use 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read something that's very familiar, but verses 4 through 8a. I'm reading it in the ESV for a specific reason. Verse 4 in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And 8a, love never ends. Okay. So I'm going to go back to the thoughts that I've had. I always read from the King James Version, and as many of you know, the word for love in the King James Version, 1 Corinthians 13, is charity. And I always thought, well, charity is giving stuff away. Maybe we need to keep that in mind tonight. So, Clayton, why do you eat fish? You love fish. Okay, so a boy was once asked, why do you eat fish? And he said, I love fish. And the man said, if you loved the fish, you wouldn't pull it out of the water and cut its head off and gut it and batter it and fry it and eat it. If you loved the fish, you would take care of the fish and do things that were good for the fish. So, in the same way, Mr. Carpenter, I like picking on you. I feel that you have some kind of respect that you'll probably not hold it against me in the future. Would you eat Piper? She's too strong. That's the reason. Not because Black Lab wouldn't be good on the barbecue. Okay, so I feel like, and I feel like it's true, that too much in our society we have a fish love. So if we were thinking about Valentine's Day for next week, people often pick a mate based on what would fulfill an emotional or physical need. They would say, this person would fulfill me. I want to live with them forever. Having read Scripture and looking at the example of Jesus, Jesus did nothing for himself. He didn't say, you know, if I save Scott Murphy, it'll fulfill me. Jesus defines love in his word. That's where we should go for definitions. And I had several things in my notes. I made this word document several weeks back, and I started listing things. I was reading in Scripture, and I saw volunteer offering unto the Lord. So that might have been a topic for tonight. And then I saw worship. I put down stewardship and integrity, which we'll come back tonight. One of the topics was faith without works and faith by my works, which came from our study in James. So I'm going to use that one next. The previous verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 was verse 3, the one we did not read. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So you can give away everything you have, including your body. And we heard in a prayer request about missionaries, or in a prayer, that were cooked to death in an oven. That wasn't out of love, I assure you. So love is giving, but you can give everything. And so to get to my point, I'm going to ask you for, I have a sentence, the greatest way you can love is to, do we have any people that want to give out an answer? The greatest way we can love is to be unselfish. I heard another answer, but I didn't hear it clearly. Sacrifice. This is my answer for tonight. The most unselfish thing I could come up with, the greatest way that I could show love, would be sharing what God's done for you in your life, personally. What's God's done for me in my life, personally. I don't benefit from telling somebody, but I can make an eternal difference in that person. It requires investing something of yourself. I remember a brother giving a message, Charles Crawford, said, the only reason you don't witness is because you're scared. You're either scared that it's the wrong time and you might lose your job. You're scared that you'll be late for your next appointment. You're scared that they'll reject you or make fun of you. One reason we don't witness is because we're scared. There's a lot of reasons we might be scared. But the greatest way to love, I think, comes from Jesus Christ. He gave the gift. And then we can share that same gift. So, you don't eat an item because you love the item. You eat an item because you love yourself. And the item tastes good, so you want to reward yourself with it. You don't witness because you love yourself. You witness because you love the other people. I remember our brother Shelley, who prayed over and over that we'd be an assembly of love. So tonight, I want to share with you a few examples that I've seen lately where in my life I feel like this has been something that's going on. I had knee reconstructive surgery back in July, and I went to work sooner than I should because I wanted to. And a customer called and said, can you come out here? What I specialize in, they needed some guidance. So I said, sure. And my boss said, should you go? I said, it doesn't matter. So I went out to a job site and I got out. And the general contractor comes out of the trailer and he says, come here. I walk over there and he said, you're not going to walk around on my job site without steel-toed boots, a hard hat, safety glasses, and a safety vest. I said, yes, sir. Went back to my car. And I was like, I don't have this stuff, cause I ain't supposed to be working. So I went back to his trailer. And he gave me the stuff I needed. I went and helped the client come back out. Had to go back into his trailer to return the stuff. And he was like, so you're a salesman? I said, yes, sir. He said, got any T-shirts? I was like, So I start taking off my jacket. And I said, the Bible says, you know, if a man asks you for your shirt, you give it to him. And he said, he broke down right then. He sat down and he said, sorry for treating you like I did when you come in here. I respect any man that's willing to share something out of God's word. And we had a little conversation. And then he calls me a week later and we have a long conversation. He's like, I got this girlfriend. And she says that if we're to have proper stewardship of what we have, then I shouldn't own all these cars. And we're talking about this man that has a girlfriend. He's in his late 50s, see if that helps put anything into perspective. So I don't know if this would help with Joseph's request earlier, but what I did was I started a Bible study in my app, and you can invite friends. So I invited him and made sure he had the same app, and I started a Bible study. So you read scripture, and you read the little notes that come along with it, and then you type whatever you want to. Or instead of type, we were doing this typing. But I just submit my notes. He gets an email, shows what my thoughts were, and he reads and types, and I get his notes. So it's like, you know, I don't have to know where he stands. I'm just doing my Bible study and he sees it. And so it worked real well for us. But it worked really well because we ended up on these, I'm driving to Raleigh and he's on the phone. Listen, I really want to talk to you about this. My girlfriend says I should come to your church. And so he's talking about all these things. So that's one way. Has nothing to do with my job, but I ended up investing in this person's life. And I'll be honest, it's not easy. You know, this is extra stuff. So having said that, if you see me walking down the hall in the chapel and I don't look at you, and I don't, my lazy self naturally defaults to what's easy. So I can walk out of here and go sit down and I'm happy. I didn't invest in anybody. But my true heart is I love you folks. And I don't say it, but I do love you. And doing that, I should invest in each one of you. I love our elders. I can honestly say I love all four of our elders. And if you think about why would Scott Murphy love all four of our elders, all four of them have spent different amounts of time investing in my life. And many other elders. And so that even relates back to Scripture. We love God, and you know why. Because He first loved us. He didn't do anything that was selfish. It wasn't self-serving, but He loved us. He gave His Son to die for us and to make things right. And it's hard to even understand, but God will take these truths and bring it just in a little different focus each time. There was another individual. I was having pizza. Googled New York style pizza. Went to Devil's Pizza in Durham. I didn't like the name. Not going to even mention the team. They have good pizza. So I met Z, is what we originally called him. I've gone back to that place a lot. His name is Ziad Labad. He's Muslim. So he's dating a girl from Pembroke. I'm like, I know people from Pembroke. Yeah, she's from a Christian home, and I'm from a Muslim home. So we have this thing that went from, I can have a pizza this big by the slice. That's the slice, the pizzas. To... what do you think about us getting married? It turned out, I hate to say, but the final conversation of that was, if she cares as much about being a Christian as you care about being a Muslim, then it don't matter. Because there didn't seem to be a whole lot of care either way. But they came to have dinner with Sharon and I recently after church. And we were praying for them, and I invited Clayton and Caitlin, and somehow they hit it off, and we didn't even have to talk to them much. You know, they know people, and they're like, really, this is great. So having said that, you know, we met them at a restaurant, and then they had driven all the way from Durham to here, and I let them go home. Well, I felt guilty. So I called him. I sent him a text. And I said, next time you come, you've got to come to our house. So, you know, investing in people, it's not easy, but it's important. And so he replies back, absolutely. Let's wait till it's warmer and we can do something outside too. So y'all can pray for Clee Johnson, who's a general contractor, and Ziad Labad. I don't know if I say that right. I know Ziad's correct. And his now wife, they got married in November. But I fully plan on witnessing to them more. And some of that is just being who I am and sharing what God's doing in my life right now. And I can't help but to talk about it. I was looking at a car yesterday. In all honesty, I was driving to Battleground Avenue to sign some papers to re-up my homeowner's insurance. But I got distracted by his dealership. So I'm talking to the salesperson, and I ended up sharing some of the message tonight to a person I know is not saved. So I'm just giving you examples of what the Lord's doing in my life, hoping that it will help you. I do know that our brother Isaac's doing a witnessing program. I know that if you want to love others, that would be a good thing to get involved with. And Sonny's done Evangelism Explosion for years. And so maybe tonight the Lord has put into focus what love is. So as we leave here, let's try not to have a fish kind of love. So I'm going to close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we do listen to you and your Holy Spirit abides in us and is with us throughout our days and even when we're laying in bed awake at night, Lord, we just pray that you will continue to work in our hearts and that you'll continue to make truths in your word more clear. And Lord, that you will help us to not be selfish, especially help me not to be selfish. Lord, I just, I seen what your example was of Jesus Christ here on earth, and it's written down, and there's every example from creation where he was involved, and you made all of this for us, Lord, to his final death, burial, and resurrection, and even then coming back to show. And Jesus was seen by so many people here on this earth, Lord, and we all together are united here tonight looking forward to the day when Jesus Christ calls us up into the air. And Lord, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be with you. And we don't even know what we look forward to. And even later in the chapter we were reading tonight, in 1 Corinthians 13, at the end it says, you know, we don't know yet, but we will know. And we don't possess yet, but we will possess. Lord, when you make us perfect, we will know what is there. And we just thank you for your word that we can study now and for your Holy Spirit to work in us, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you for all that you've given to us, Lord. And we just look forward to meeting again on Sunday morning when we can focus in on the emblems that remind us of that finished work and what Jesus did. And we just pray all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.